Tonight, Bezrat Hashem, we're going to start what should be a 2 to 3 shiur adventure, learning about Hilchot Hadlakat Nerot. The past few weeks, we've been learning a little bit about the importance of why we should be learning Hilchot Shabbos, what's so unique and important about learning Hilchot Shabbos. Then the past 2 weeks, we had a little bit of a hekdama, some machshava about Kedusha Shabbos, what makes Shabbos unique. And tonight, we're going to start a little bit about the dinim of Hadlakat Nerot Shabbos, lighting candles Friday night, just by show of hands. Who here lights Friday night versus who doesn't? Okay, so we're at like probably 75-25% light here. We'll discuss that towards the end. One of the latter sugyas we're going to go through about Hadlakat Nerot is, do single woman light, do they not light? That's definitely an interesting discussion. But just in general, this is a fantastic sugya that really, when we discussed earlier, trying to blend the halacha and the machshava, really comes out in Hadlakat Nerot so well and so beautifully. And we're going to try and discuss a little bit tonight. First off, why on earth do we light candles? Who here knows why we light Hadlakat Nerot?
I mean, there's...
Yeah.
There's like the Shalom Bayit one.
Okay. Okay.
Those are the only two
I know. So Shamor and Zachor is not as much a reason why we light. That's why people have a minhag to light two candles. Shalom Bayit's definitely one we're going to discuss off the bat. Yeah, you had something?
Onik Shabbos.
Onik Shabbos. Are you looking at, did you guys look at the sheet?
No.
Because that's kind of cheating.
But still, even if it's only like, why candles?
Right, that's going to be part of the discussion. If it's onig, why candles? Or, you're asking, ask a better question. If it's Shalom Bayit, what's your kashi if it's Shalom Bayit?
How does it work with Shalom Bayit? How do candles make you have Shalom Bayit?
I don't know, romantic for like candlelight dinner? I don't know.
The entire family.
Isn't everything a candlelight dinner? Like it's, they don't have lights.
Yeah, but you can see it.
Okay. That's definitely something. So we're going to have, there's a lot of questions that you're going to ask about like, that you can ask. Well, if it's Dafka about Shalom Bayit, I can ask questions. What, does Shalom Bayis only exist about Shabbos? The other 6 days of the week, I could treat my wife however I want? No, there's a lot of questions you could ask. If it's about Onik Shabbos, so as you said, why specifically candles? We're going to see that amongst the different reasons brought down that we're going to discuss. I brought for you guys a list of Nafka Minas, but the list is much longer. If we want, we can continue to go through the different Nafka Minas, the practical differences and ramifications between reason A versus reason B. There's a lot and to discuss, but we're going to try and see some of the main reasons and some really nice ideas. And it's not just, oh, what's the Tameh HaMitzvah behind it? But as I mentioned before, amongst all the different reasons is going to have real practical ramifications on how we paskin on different issues. Depending on which way you understand how Hadlakas Neros works, and what's the reasoning behind it, we're going to come and see a lot of differences, Halakha L'maisa, how it applies, particularly between Sephardim and Ashkenazim. Anyone here Sephardi, raise your hand. Okay, we're still going to discuss the Sephardi Halakha, but we'll spend, I guess, less time on it than previously because it's not necessarily apply to anyone here unless one of you marry a Sephardi guy and take on his minhagim, but that's a different story. Whether or not that's like, whether or not you take on minhagim, etc., a different discussion. So we're going to start. Why do we light Shabbos candles? So at first, as was pointed out, is because of Shalom Bayit. The Medrash tells us in Psikta Zutra, in Parsha Vayakel, that there was a Kabbalah from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, from Bnei Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu already instituted that we should light candles on Friday night. Hadlakas Neros seems to be a Kabbalah, Halakha Moshe Mesinai, that we light Friday night. And the Chachamim, the Medrash tells us, explained the reason why we light candles is because of the mitzvah of Shalom Bayit. The reason for this, this Medrash brings two reasons. The first one, the Medrash says, because of Shalom Bayit, because you shouldn't be eating in the dark. It's not, you know, a peaceful atmosphere in the house. If you're eating and it's pitch black, it's a little bit awkward, it's a little bit uncomfortable. You know, that's not going to create a nice, wonderful, fun, Zmiros-filled Shabbos table atmosphere. Number two, brought down in the Medrash, is going to be, because, Chas v'Shalom, what if someone gets sick Friday night? You don't have a light. You're not going to need a Mechal Shabbos to light a candle in order to help take care of them. This is something brought down in Dina Yoledet. A lot of poskim say, when your wife is in the ninth month, you should make sure to leave a light on in the house. So if Chas v'Shalom, she, you know, Baruch Hashem, she is, you know, going into labor, you don't have to now turn on a light to then go take care of things. The light's already on. It's one little thing that you could do to minimize Isurim. So yes, of course, in a case of Pikuach Nefesh, you can turn on the light. That's not our discussion now. But it's just one small thing that you could do that you should have light. So if someone's sick, you're able to better take care of them. Yeah.
I feel like light is a given because either way you're going to light the candles, whether it's Shabbos or not, because you have to see. So is the mitzvah on lighting the candles or just saying the bracha on the candles?
We're definitely going to get to discuss that, whether or not it's an action of the lighting. Maybe it's just having light. Nafkamina, if the light's already on, do I have to turn them off to turn them back on? Can I make a bracha on existing light? What if I didn't light it? My kid came and turn on the light or lit the candles. Can I make a bracha for them? What if a non-Jew lights the candles? That's exactly what we're going to get into. A lot of these discussions for sure. Spot on. Yeah.
Do you know why people wave their hands 3 times before they're
going? Yeah, we're going to get to that. That's part of Overlast Yatam. Minago Ashkenazim, Keneged, the Shulchan Aruch, Svardim. Generally, we have bracha of Overlast Yatam, but Ashkenazim have Minag to light first because of Kabbalah Shabbos for Adlak Kazneris. We'll get to it. Okay, the Gemara then tells us, so far the Medrash gives us 2 reasons. One, because maybe someone will get sick, you're going to need to turn on the light. So we should have light pre-existing before we walk in to Shabbos so that if someone's sick Friday night, we don't have to turn on the light for them. Sometimes you have to, chacham enav berosho, as we've said in other shirim. So you have to prepare in advance. So you prepare as much as you can. So if you think maybe someone will get sick, so you should prepare as much as possible. Just like when your wife's in the 9th month, you prepare a bag, you know, to take to the hospital. So you don't have to now Friday night go running around looking, oh, I have to take this, I have to take that. You turn off the light in the car. So when you open the door, the light doesn't go on. It's one small little thing to make things easier. You do things to basically lower the level of Yisurim as much as possible. So you light a candle in advance. So in case someone's sick, you already have light. 2, because of Shalom Bayit, it's not nice to eat in the dark. The Gemara in Shabbos, Chav Gimel Mabet, asks a question in the second parak, Bama Adlikin, and Mesechet Shabbos. We have all the sugyas about Hadlakas Neros, and all about Neros Chanukah. So the Gemara asks a question. If I have money to buy Hadlakas Neros Shabbos, or Hadlakas Neros Chanukah, which do I buy? What do you guys say? Shabbos, what do you say? Anyone say Chanukah? Okay, great, because the Gemara says Shabbos. The question is why? Why do I light Shabbos candles instead of Chanukah candles? I would have thought my original Havamina, as we generally say, Tadir v'she'eno Tadir, Tadir Kodem. We generally, when we have A versus B, we do the thing that is more common. So, Chanukah happens how many times a year?
Once.
Shabbos happens every week. So I would think Shabbos comes first. Or I could say, Chanukah l'kulei alma is a din de Rabbanan. We just said, based on the Medrash, that Hadlakas Neros is Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. It's a Kabbalah M'Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's in this quasi-Dioraita range. So we have 2 strong reasons why I would have thought Hadlakas Neros Shabbos comes first. Maybe it's Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai is supposed to be in the Rabbanan, or Tadir V'Shena Tadir V'Tadir Kodem. But the Gemara in Shabbos tells us otherwise. No. Amar Rava, Pshitali, Ner Beito V'Ner Chanukah, which comes first? Ner Shabbos or Ner Shabbos. Ner Beito, Adif, Mishim Shalom Bayit. The Gemara says, the reason why we light Shalom, why you spend the money on Chanukah, on Shabbos candles first, is because of Shalom Bayit. So should there be peace within the home? So now the question is, how am I going to define Shalom Bayit? What on earth does that have to do with lighting candles Friday night? What's going on here? So generally when we have a question, hold on to questions now for a little bit, and when we start going a little bit, we'll take questions as we go, okay? Rashi is generally the first place. We want to understand what's going on in the Gemara. The first place we look often is, we look to the inside column of our Gemara, and we have Perush Rashi coming to the rescue. Problem here is, Rashi in 2 different places gives us 2 different answers. So, great. Maybe that's not a problem. It's, you know, 2 different reasons. So Rashi gives us 2 answers. The one, Shebenei Beito Mitztarin Leshev Bachoshech. It's not comfortable. People are annoyed. They're frustrated. It's not nice to sit in the dark. Simply put, why would I sit in the dark when I could sit in the light? We want to make a comfortable, nice atmosphere for Shabbos, to have a nice Friday night Shabbos table, so there should be lights. It's simple. People are mitzvah to sit in the dark. Rashi number 2. Shelo hayat lo mimat ladlikir. Okay, v'makom she'ein ner ein shalom. In a place where there's no candles, there's no peace. Why? Sheholech v'nichshal v'holech b'afila. What happens when you're walking in the dark very often? Anyone happen where you're like walking, it's really dark out, it's the middle of the night, you're like stumbling along, you're trying to find the stairs, and you trip, you fall, you stub your toe on the table, on a chair, you know, something or another, you stumble along the way, and I could say at least for myself, and I'm sure others maybe feel the same way, I don't know why, I get so frustrated when I stub my toe. It's no one's fault. but I stub my toe on something when I'm walking, and it's just like, oh my God, I stubbed my toe. Like, okay, I could have just looked where I was going. But practically speaking, people get frustrated, they get annoyed. If you trip over something, it's uncomfortable, it's annoying, you're going to hurt yourself. And you might not only get frustrated over the fact that you trip, but you'll be annoyed. You were walking, it was dark out, your son left the chair. You know, he didn't push the chair all the way in, or someone left, you know, the Legos all over the floor, or they spilled a cup of water. Whatever it is, you're going to get really annoyed. Like, come on, you didn't put your Lego away. I stepped on it. I hurt my foot in the middle of the night. So Rashi gives us two reasons. One, it's not comfortable. It's not nice to sit in the dark. Number two, realistically speaking, you might come to trip or to stumble or to hurt yourself in the dark, and that's not something that's good for Shalom Bayit. You're going to get frustrated and annoyed. The Me'iri continues. The Me'iri in his Beit Sefer Beit Bechira on Masechet Shabbos over here. First, he quotes the idea of Rashi that if you only have one pruta, you should bring by candles because it's not comfortable to sit in the dark. That first idea of Rashi. He then continues to quote, why would Neros Shabbos be Hadlakas Neros because of Shalom Bayis? Why lighting Shabbos candles is specifically for Shalom Bayis? The Me'iri has a beautiful and very insightful approach. He says, there's some mitzvot that are best to be done by the man, some that are given to the woman to do. And because Hadlakas Neros is a mitzvah that we pass in Halacha L'maisa, it's better for the woman of the household to do Hadlakas Neros than the husband. So he says, if you go out and take the money and buy Chanukah candles, which according to the Svardim and some Ashkenazim, is a mitzvah only on the men, and women don't light Chanukah candles, according to some Ashkenazi opinions in Svardim. So your wife's going to say, oh, you took the money, you bought your own mitzvah, and you left me in the dust. She's going to get annoyed and frustrated because you spent the money on your own mitzvah, and you basically said, I don't care about your mitzvah, I come first. That's one way to read the Me'iri. The other way to read the Me'iri is, no, you should go out of your way to buy and to support and to do things that are specifically for your wife's mitzvot. It's your wife's opportunity to light Hadlakas Neros Shabbos. So obviously, you should first and foremost do whatever you can to make her happy, to try and go out of your way so that she should be able to do her mitzvah. It's not like, oh, I chose myself before you. It's that, of course, you would put her first. So the Me'iri comes and says, the main reason why Shalom Bayis is Neros Shabbos is because it's the woman's mitzvah. It's her opportunity. So, of course, it would be only the most fulfilling and fitting thing that you should clearly go out and get her mitzvah first so that she can take care of it. The Rosh Yosef, Sefer by the Prima Gadim, that he wrote on a lot of different Masechtot, particularly here at Shabbos, says we go so far when it comes to the idea that Nero Shabbos Kodem, that you would even buy Shabbos candles instead of food. If it's food versus Shabbos candles, better to buy Shabbos candles. So we can discuss whether or not how far do we go with this. Mashma from the Shulchan, this is not brought down in the Prima Gadim in his Sefer, his two different Svarim on Hilchos Shabbos. Rather, it's brought down in his Sugyot in Masechet Shabbos. But two, different discussions of the Shulchan Aruch. Definitely, if it's buying challah, or Hadlakas Neros, you buy challah. If it's, am I going to buy the cake for dessert, or am I going to buy Hadlakas Neros? Pasha, you would buy Hadlakas Neros. Whether or not you buy the meat or Hadlakas Neros, Pashto says, you would buy the Hadlakas Neros. If it's wine or Hadlakas Neros, there we could have a very interesting argument about where, you know, priorities, if it's wine versus Hadlakas Neros. But basically anything besides for motzi and potentially wine, Hadlakas Neros would come first. That's really what we would say Halakha L'maisa. We quoted the Sefer last week, or 2 weeks ago, the Daf Al Daf, in his different Ha'aros over here, says that based on Rashi, then we're afraid that people are going to trip, and Hadlakas Neros is not, we generally assume Shalom Bayit is between who and who? When we use the term Shalom Bayit, who's it generally relating to?
The man and wife.
Right, husband and wife. If I'm going to say that it's a din in you shouldn't trip, is that a din in the man and the wife, or that's like the whole family? Right, it doesn't apply Shalom Bayit, which in our standard terms of, you know, the, you know, relationship between a husband and wife. Rather, the Daf Al Daf would seem to say the idea of Hadlakas Neros is not to, you know, cause a nice relationship between husband and wife, but rather to create an atmosphere of calm, tranquility, serenity, a wonderful atmosphere of Shabbos. No one's going to trip. People are going to sit together. They're going to sing together. You're going to have a wonderful time around the Shabbos table. It's not just about you and your wife. It's about having a wonderful family environment. It's having an atmosphere of a good time as a family, enjoying Kedusha Shabbos together as a group. And that's what it's all about. And then he quotes another opinion from the Rambam that specifically Shalom Bayit is between husband and wife. And the Rambam goes so far as to say, we know, based off of the Masechet Sota, right? For those of you that started learning Masechet Sota last night, we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go so far to say, erase my name to prove that there should be peace between husband and wife. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to allow us to be mochek his name to create peace between husband and wife. So too, we should spend our money at least for Shalom Bayit. If Hashem is willing to say, you know, scratch my name out of a Torah, we should at least spend a few dollars to buy proper candles, and that should show some priority. We're learning a lesson from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to sacrifice from himself, from his own kavod, to have peace between husband and wife. So the Rambam learns from there that we should prioritize the relationship between husband and wife, and we should put our money where our mouth is and buy hadlakas neros, buy candles first. The Sefer Chasidim, fascinating work, takes this an interesting way further. And we'll see it a little bit later in, I believe, the Ibn Ezra it is. Yeah, in Ibn Ezra, we'll see this idea later. One of the reasons why maybe we come to light hadlakas neros Shabbos is we know historically that there was a lot of machloket between the tzdukim and the prushim, right? People are familiar with this from like Jewish history. Okay? So the tzdukim learned the Torah literally 100% shot in the pasuk. This is what is, this is what it says. So the pasuk says, Al taviru esh b'moshvotechem, you should not have fire in your home. And as a result, the tzdukim understand that the halacha says you cannot ever have fire existing in your home. Right? There can never be light in your home on Shabbos. It's halachically usher to have light in your home on Shabbos. But, and this we'll see is later in the Ibn Ezra, I'm kind of just going to bring it in now and we won't go over it later. So we're going to say that tzdukim understood literally, there should never be a source of light in your home on Shabbos. Whereas in those of us who accept Torah Shebaal Peh, what does this halacha mean? You can't light a fire on Shabbos. But obviously you can light a fire on Erev Shabbos so that you have light Friday night. So the Ibn Ezra says the reason why we light candles Friday night is you're basically showing the tzdukim, look, halacha's not like you. We're going to light a candle to prove you wrong. Clearly, there's a mitzvah to light candles. There's a mitzvah to have fire in your home so that we could see. So we should have Shalom Bayit. We should have a wonderful atmosphere. And this is showing the tzdukim. This is what the halacha really says. That's the idea really that brought down to the Ibn Ezra. And you're coming to light candles to one up the tzdukim. The Sefer HaChasidim starts out with that idea. And he takes it another step further. And he says, it's not just that we light candles to show the tzdukim they're incorrect, but rather we say, Vayivarech Elohim et Yom HaShvi'i. There is no bracha if you can't see it. So clearly we need that if we want to, right, if you were to get a bracha, someone gives you a gift. If you don't know the gift existed, you never saw the gift, you never got the gift, you never received the gift, you never interacted or benefited from the gift is more or less meaningless to you. So too, if we're going to say that there was a gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us this idea of Shabbos, we have to be able to see the Matana Tova that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. So we light candles before Shabbos so that we can enjoy and see the beautiful Shabbos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. From here, we recognize that the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us is that by having light in our home, we're able to enjoy life. We're able to enjoy a full Shabbos of Shalom, and that's why we have Shalom Bayit. It's because we fill our homes with light, not only to disprove the tzdukim, but so that we could better appreciate and enjoy the bracha that is Shabbos, and that's called Shalom Bayit. It's having peace in your home where you're able to identify, to recognize, and to enjoy this unique Kedusha, the unique opportunity that we call Shabbos that Hashem gave us. The Pnimei Halacha by Rav Eliezer Melamed discusses the, just in general, idea of Hadlakas Neros Shabbos. And he writes, when discussing the idea in his chapter on Hadlakas Neros Shabbos, a really beautiful idea. He says that Shabbos candles are not just lighting a candle, but it's coming to show us something so much deeper when it comes to the meaning of Shabbos itself. When one sits in the dark, he's unable to find that which you're looking for. And you're likely, as Rashi said, to trip and to fall. Because everything's dark, it's foggy, it's hard to discern A from B. But once there's light, there's candles lit, the house is blessed with a concept of peace, of serenity and tranquility. and you can enjoy the Suda Shabbos. You're not going to be stumbling along, oh, can someone pass me the cholent, and you stick your hand in the hot bowl of cholent because you couldn't see. Or that instead of them ladling cholent onto your plate, they missed and spilled it all over your lap. That's not a nice atmosphere for Shabbos. When there's light, you're able to enjoy and to bask in the wonderful opportunity that Shabbos is. And when we look at the world, the physical sense darkness gives off is one of war, of coldness, of fear, and of struggle. But when we look at light and we focus in the positive, in that which the light illuminates and shows us, we're able to appreciate that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. We see the candle, we see the darkness of despair and unknowing where we might trip, and we're able to recognize and appreciate as the fog dissipates, the darkness is removed, the entire world and our homes are filled with light. And Rav Melamed then explains that when we light candles on Erev Shabbos, our homes are then filled with the true light, with the Or HaPnimi, the inner light, and the Or HaEmunah, the light of faith that Shabbos gives us. As we spoke about the idea of Shabbos as the basic tenet of faith. And Rav Melamed then says, the entire purpose of Shabbos as a concept, as a day, as a religious identity, as a part of our identity, is so that we can appreciate the Torah, we can appreciate the Or of Shabbos and the Emunah, and it's a day that's coming to light our lives as a whole. As we spoke about in the past week, about Shabbos as the linchpin of the week, Rav Melamed really says, Shabbos is the light that's coming to shine on the rest of our week. And that's something that Rav Melamed says so beautifully, it's coming to show us and to illuminate our entire week as a result. Now I want to shift a little bit and discuss the idea of lighting Halakas Ner Shabbos, Midin Oneg Shabbos. Okay? And the idea that we're going to discuss here is from the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshat Noach, last week's Parsha. The Medrash tells us, and this is definitely, we can have much longer discussions on this, Yilmedenu Rabbeinu Al Kama Averot Nashim Metot B'Shat Leidatan. There are a few mitzvot that generally women miss, you know, maybe some of them stumble upon, and as a result, they die during childbirth. This is brought down in the Gemara and the Mishnayot as well. Kach shanu rabotinu ashlosh averot, right? There's three main ones. Ushloshta min haTorah, hadlakat nerot, dechtiv, vekarata shabbat oneg. Zu hadlakat ner b'shabbat. V'amru, v'im tomar leishev b'choshech, ein ze oneg, she'ein yordeh gehenom ne'anim b'choshech. It's very simple. So we're going to say, as brought down in the Mishnah and Gemara don't necessarily say this, that one of the three mitzvot that women pass away from during childbirth is Hadlakat Nerot Shabbos. That sounds really scary. So the reason the Medrash explains further is because the Torah tells us, V'karat l'Shabbat Oneg, the entire purpose of Shabbos, as we spoke about as we spoke about 2 weeks ago, is that we should enjoy Shabbos. Shabbos should be a day of Tanug, of physical and spiritual pleasure, a day of enjoyment. So clearly, we light candles, the Medrash tells us, because that's how we get Tanug, that's how we get enjoyment, that's how we enjoy Shabbos. That's how the day is all about. The Medrash takes it further. What do you mean? Light equals oneg. Light equals pleasure. The Medrash goes really far. When Achar Me'ev Esrim, someone's nifter, She'ein yorde gehenim nidunim ela b'choshech. Those that go down to Gehenim and they're standing before the court in Gehenim, and they say, okay, well, how long are you going to be here? What are your crimes? Which level of Gehenim are you going to be on? What's your punishment? The judgment in Gehenim is in the darkness. It's pitch black. So from here, the Medrash tells us, we clearly see the strong connection between Oneg and light. Because the antithesis of Oneg Shabbos is Gehenim. What could be farther than Oneg Shabbos, than enjoying Shabbos, than being stuck in Gehenim? And there it's pitch black. So of course Shabbos has to be light. As Malama would say, Shabbos is the light that's here to light up our lives. Gehenim is the darkness creeping behind us, causing us sometimes to stumble along the way. Yeah.
What kind of candles were they lighting? Like, were they like fake candles?
We're going to discuss later, halacha l'maisa, whether or not it's better to light with oil versus candles. But they were lighting. There's all through the second parak of Mishnayot and Shabbos and Bava Madlikin and in numerous other places in Shas. We see they had these little jugs that had little spout that the wick would come out of and it'd be full of oil. And that's all the discussions. Can I tilt it? Can I move it? How can I benefit from it so that I can better see? Depends on how much money you had. Realistically speaking, if you had money, you had wonderful, beautiful candelabras, you had lots of light, you were able to afford oil. Someone who was much poorer was unable to properly afford oil. You didn't have the money for it.
Like, are they lighting for, like, the length of time all of Friday night?
All Friday night. As in, you don't need a light for Shabbos day because there's this wonderful invention called the sun. But the idea of oneg Shabbos, of having light, would only apply at a time when otherwise you wouldn't. Having a candle during, this will be a nafkamina for whether or not, machlokes Sfardim Ashkenazim, Shulchan Aruch Rama, whether or not we can make a bracha for Tosefet Or. Do I actually benefit from a candle in the daylight, right? Right now we're sitting outside and there's this wonderful light bulb here. If we were to sit here at 2 o'clock this afternoon, if this light was on or off, would it make any difference? Not at all. Literally not. So that's going to be part of the discussion. So clearly, Hadlakas Neros is a mitzvah to bring light and so we can enjoy Friday night where otherwise we wouldn't.
Right. So like they didn't feel necessary to mention that, like, oh, during the day you're going to have normal light, so you don't need...
No, I think that's it's muvan me'elav. You know, that's something that you can understand naturally. The Gemara in Yoma, Ayin Dalet Amud Bet, takes it a step further. Chad Amar. Someone said, Eino domer misha ro'eve ochel, you can't compare someone who sees his food and eats it to someone who eats their food when they can't see it. Amar of Yosef mikan remez lesumin she'ochlin ve'en sveim. From here, Rav Yosef teaches us that we learn that someone who's blind eats their entire life, but they're never truly satiated. There's always something missing from their food. They never are able to right? People, you've heard the term, you eat with your eyes, you know, the whole diet, you know, nutrition of, you know, do you have a big plate, smaller plates, you know, portion control, people eat with their eyes, you go to a buffet, you take as much as you possibly can, because it fits on your plate, you want to try a little bit of everything. But if you can never see the food, you kind of eat what's there, and you don't get the appreciation of the colors, and the way the plate appeal, etc. There's an aspect of the meal that is missing when you're not able to see. And then, Amar Abaye, Hilkach, Man, De'it Le'suda, Lo Lech Le'el B'Yoma. And thus, Abaye teaches us, Halacha L'maisa, he says, Hilkach, this is a halacha. That, when you're going to have a big suda, it has to be during the day. You can't have a big suda at night. Because at night, you're not going to properly be able to appreciate it. You're not going to properly be able to enjoy it. Something's going to be missing, because you're not able to tap into it with all your senses. When you're able to understand something in more ways than another, that's something that you're going to appreciate in a greater way. Tosvot in that on Shabbos Chavdal Amud Bet Yirmat Hadlakat Ner Shabbat Chova explains Perush b'makom Suda dechova hi sheisol b'makom haner mishum oneg. The Tosvot explains the reason why we light candles Friday night is because that Friday night we should be sitting by our table. We're going to be eating our meal, and when we eat our meal, just like we said here in the Gemara in Yuma, you have to eat your meal by light, because that's how you can enjoy your meal. The Oneg Shabbos is you can see the food. Wow, what beautiful challahs. Wow, what nice fish and meat. What a wonderful cake. The food is so delicious. You're able to bask. You're able to appreciate it so much more. You can see how hard whoever it was that cooked worked to put the food on the table. How beautiful is that? Part of Oneg Shabbos, enjoying Shabbos, is that you could see the food. You could benefit from it. You could get the full amount of pleasure, and part of that comes from just seeing the food. The Rashba tells us also that one needs to have candles in their house because of the meal. And he says, how do I know? What's the Rashba's proof? We said this earlier a little bit. What's the Rashba's proof? Why? Hadlakas Neros Shabbos is a din in Oneg Shabbos, of enjoying Shabbos, and not Shalom Bayit. Whether or not Shalom Bayit Bein Ish L'Ishto, whether or not Shemaloti Kashel V'Tipol B'Choshech, between just tripping and falling, how does the Rashba prove that it's Oneg Shabbos and not Shalom Bayit, however we define Shalom Bayit? Anyone have a good reason? Thought process here? The Rashba has a great Kashya. If I'm going to say that lighting candles is so that you have a wonderful relationship with your spouse, or so that you don't trip over your kid's Lego or the chair that wasn't pushed in properly, Shouldn't that apply every day of the week? Why should that happen on Shabbos? What, Shalom Bayis is only on Shabbos? No. You want to have wonderful family relationships every day of the week. So from here, the Rashba says it's clearly not just because of Shalom Bayis. Because that should apply all week long. We want to have wonderful relationships with our spouses, parents, kids, etc. all the time, not just one day a week. And as a result, it's clearly a din miyuchad of Shabbos. It's something unique to Kedusha Shabbos. And as a result, the Rashba tells us it's because of Onik Shabbos. The Shiboli HaLeket elaborates on this idea, as we said in the Gemara in Yuma, and said that generally we say one's not satiated unless he's able to see. And he says, let's go further. There's a pasuk in Kohelet. Let's bring Psukim from Tanakh. Tov mareh einen me'olecha nefesh. And he says, from this pasuk, Chazal said, you shouldn't eat in the dark. Really, you should not be eating in darkness. You should be eating during the light. You should be eating as the paskin halacha l'maisa, the Gemara b'shem Abaye. You should have sudas, you should have your meals during the day. And he said, this is why we should eat by candlelight on Shabbos. Because if you eat in the dark, you're not going to be satiated. And the idea of Shabbos is to lead to both spiritual and physical satiation, to reach this climax of spiritual and physical pleasure of the food and the smirot and the divrei Torah and the wonderful atmosphere as you have the Shabbos malketa, the white tablecloth, everyone in their begadim, you showered, you cut your nails, you cut your hair, everything's so beautiful. We're able to try and tap into the situation as best as possible. And he says that's why it's different than any other day of the week. And if we have a proper Shabbos, he said that Kiddush of Shabbos, that Onik Shabbos, carries over into our relationship with the rest of the week. He takes it one step further. Well, I take it after we finish Shiboli HaLeket. He says it's another reason why there's an idea of Onik Shabbos specifically by having a candle is because if you eat in the dark, how are you ever going to know maybe a fly landed in your soup or you're going to have some sort of isser that fell into your food, right? Last Thursday night I was cleaning and preparing a pomegranate for Shabbos to have some fresh fruit for Shabbos. And inside the pomegranate, there were two worms. Each of those worms, the Gemara in Makor on Daf Zayin Amabed, I believe, tells us, the very end of the second parak, tells us that each one of those worms is either 5 or 6 Isurei Dioraita. So if I hadn't checked before, and so I'm eating that in the dark, and I'm eating my pomegranate, see, it's beautiful, delicious, and then I eat those two worms, that's 10, maybe 12 Isurei Dioraita. I'm going to get so frustrated. Every fly that lands in my soup, you know, the next after you have Lux Nesh, we're going to learn Hochos Borer. How can you take a fly out of your soup or not on Shabbos? But now we're saying, if you're going to not have light, you're going to also maybe come to mess up. So part of Onik Shabbos is that you are able to not stumble, not have these stumbling blocks of potentially surim, of things that are prohibited and forbidden, eating in your food. So Hadlaka Neirot Shabbos is that we could both enjoy our spiritual Shabbos in a Isser V'Heter sense, and a physical sense of enjoying the food and drink as much as we can to tap into the physical pleasure. Yeah.
Oh, so I don't understand the real distinction between Oneg Shabbos and Shabbos here, because isn't it both? Aren't you like violating both by like stepping on a Lego of a cage when it's dark? You know, you're ruining the Oneg Shabbos and you're ruining the Shalom Bayis. So what's the real differentiation between?
Right. If you're going to say that specifically that one, definitely there's... That's something that applies to both. I think when we look at the different time, I don't think we could say halacha l'maisa, oh, we paskin specifically because of A or B. I think, you know, the different reasons brought down are something that we could take a bit from here and a bit from there to inspire our own personal hadlakas neiros Shabbos, our own, you know, the environment we have in our house. I think there's what to learn from the different reasons, and we will see later on some of the different nafkaminot between the tamim, if you're going to say A or if you're going to say B, maybe that's going to affect some of the nafkaminot as we're going to discuss shortly. So far we've seen a few different reasons. Maybe you need to have candles in your house in case someone's sick. Maybe it's because of Shalom Bayis. You don't want to just, you know, it's not comfortable to sit in the dark. Maybe it's because of Shalom Bayis. You don't want to trip over something or hurt yourself. You're going to get frustrated. Maybe it's because of Oneg Shabbos. Maybe it's because of the Tzdukim. We want to, you know, show them who's boss. No, we are allowed to have light in our home on Shabbos. We just can't light it on Shabbos. Maybe it's because of Oneg Shabbos. We want to get the most spiritual satisfaction on Shabbos. Maybe because of Onik Shabbos, we want to get the most out of our food, just like someone who can't see their food doesn't get proper the same amount of satisfaction from it. So too, someone who is unable to see is not going to have the same satisfaction from it. Or maybe it's so you don't end up coming to eat Isurim. So we mentioned before the idea of the Ibn Ezra, of the Tzdukim. Now we want to see what the Mordechai. The Mordechai, one of the great Ashkenazi Rishonim, writes differently. He says, "Lo chashu l'shalom bayit, ela b'shabbat mifnei kavod Shabbos." The Mordechai explained, just like we said, similar to the Rashba, that it has nothing to do with shalom bayit. It's the same kashya as the Rashba. If you're going to tell me that lighting candles on Shabbos is because of shalom bayit, then you should do it every day of the week. If you love your wife, you love your kids, you love your family, go out and light candles every single day. It shouldn't only apply on Shabbos. Same question as the Rashba. But the Mordechai, unlike saying the Rashba, says because of owning Shabbos, you want to enjoy the physical and spiritual pleasures of Shabbos as much as possible. The Mordechai takes a different turn and says, no, it's because of Kavod Shabbos, as we discussed 2 weeks ago. It's because of the honor of Shabbos. You light candles because of her honor, right? It's such a, you know, you go to a five-star restaurant, they have candles, it sets the atmosphere, it sets the tone, it's the ambiance. You're trying to create a nice scenery for everybody, for Shabbos Kodesh, for the Shabbos Queen herself. So too, you want to have Kavod Shabbos, you want to set up in advance. Before Shabbos, there should be lights ready, so when you come home from shul, you could sit down at the table and have your meal and sing Shalom Aleichem and make Kiddush and Eshet Chayil and all the others mirrored in the songs and everything else that's going on Shabbos. You're trying to set a atmosphere, preparing in advance. That's part of the tzedukim. We're showing them who's boss because we're saying, yes, you can't do it on Shabbos. But if I prepare in advance, that is called Kavod Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos, as we said 2 weeks ago, is the things we do on Erev Shabbos to prepare for Shabbos. That's our cleaning our house. That's our washing our clothes. That's our showering, bathing, setting the table, making our beds. And that's something that we're doing. We're showing, look, we want to do what we can to prepare for Shabbos. It's not Shalom Bayit, because I would do that every day. But now I'm lighting on Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos comes in, to ensure that on Shabbos I have food. And this also furthering the idea against the tzedukim, this is why the Ramah, Paskin Halacha L'maisa, and Siman Shinir Chet, that anyone who doesn't believe in the halachot of Shehiyah, Shinir Chet, maybe it's in Rishon Gimel, I don't remember off the top of my head now, but that anyone who doesn't believe in the halachot of Shehiyah, of leaving hot food, you know, you're putting it away on Erev Shabbos, you're leaving it warm on Erev Shabbos, and you're insulating it with all the halachot of Shehiyah and Hatmana, and you don't believe in having warm food on Shabbos, so you refuse to eat warm food on Shabbos, and you don't leave a cholent up on Erev Shabbos, you're not bikores because you're going against Dinei Derabanan. Chazal set out a way for you to enjoy Shabbos. They wanted you to have hot food on Shabbos. So they explained to us the halacha of Dinei Shehiyah, Vatmana, and Chazara, so we could have hot food. So the Ramah says, whoever doesn't believe in that, it's like you're a kofar. You're an apikores. So it's you here. We're lighting candles to show them what the halacha really is. The Smag in his Sefer HaMitzvah Gadol says that writing so too, it's because lighting candles is because of Kavod Shabbos. He said, because the beautiful light which radiates from the candles, the pure, clear, wonderful light that a single flame gives off, he says, that's the Iker Kavod. That is the highest level of Kavod Shabbos. The clean, crisp, wonderful light. Right? We're talking about people who maybe during the whole week, they couldn't afford to have candles at night. When this, right? As Benjamin Franklin would say, early to rise, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Right? People historically couldn't afford to stay up at night. So they would go to bed early, and they would get up when the sun came up, because their life was surrounded by the sun, because they couldn't necessarily afford candles. So too, the idea that if you're going to spend time and go out of your way to light candles on Shabbos, and have clean light on Shabbos, that's why I have all these halachot of what types of candles you can light and can't you light, as we say every Friday night at the end of Kabbalah Shabbos. There's an idea that by having clean, fresh, beautiful light, that's what makes Shabbos special, that's what makes Shabbos radiate. That's what the real light of Shabbos is truly about. The Gerach in his Chidushim al Shas, Rav Chaim Brisker elaborates on this idea. And just like Rav Chaim often does, right? What's a classic Brisker Chakira? I'm going to say, there's trei dinim, there's two dinim, there's two different laws at play in this one action. And Rav Chaim Brisker explains that with Hadlakas Neros, there are trei dinim. There's two different aspects going on. There is, at the same exact moment, when I stand there and I light Hadlakat Neros, I stand there lighting the candles, at that exact moment, there's both Oneg Shabbos and Kavod Shabbos that are coming in and playing off each other at the exact same moment, in different ways, but in the same action. The action combines two different things. And Rav Chaim explains that the part of Oneg Shabbos is that is done on Shabbos itself, just like we generally say in Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos is the eating, it's the drinking, it's the sitting around and singing and sharing Divrei Torah. It's the beautiful Shabbos atmosphere that we create in our homes. Whereas in the aspect and the facet of Kavod Shabbos is done on Erev Shabbos as we prepare to bring in Shabbos, as we prepare to welcome the Shabbos Queen into our home. And he says, the idea of Oneg Shabbos is when we are able to sit at our Shabbos table peacefully, calmly, in serenity and tranquility, and enjoy the light, and enjoy the atmosphere. And we're enjoying Shabbos itself. Whereas the idea of Kavod Shabbos is that we're helping prepare to create the beautiful Shabbos atmosphere in advance. And thus, if we, Rav Chaim says, if we had a light magically turn on Shabbos, right, you have timers. He didn't know what a timer was. But if you were able to have a timer, and the timer Shabbos starts at 5:30, and the timer kicks on right when you come home from shul at 6:45, Rav Chaim says, you're not mekayim the whole mitzvah. You only got half of it. You'll have Oneg Shabbos, because you're enjoying your Shabbos meal with the lights. But you missed out that part of Hadlakas Neros is that you actually went out of your way, and you did a maisa, you did an action, you took the candle, and you lit it on Erev Shabbos. And that's how you mix Oneg Shabbos and Kavod Shabbos, that the exact same maisa has two aspects. And if you're only mekayim half of it, you only get half of the mitzvah. That's going to have nafka minas if it blows out, or if you have a timer. Those are things that are going to come up. The Beis HaLevi follows in the Grach's footsteps, in Ishailos and Juvos Beis HaLevi, in Chelek Aleph, Simon Yud Aleph. And Rav Soloveitchik there points out that the Ikar mitzvah is of Hadlakas Neros is Kavod Shabbos. The main aspect of Hadlaka is because of the Kavod Shabbos. And the essence of lighting is that you should have the proper Kavod, you should have the atmosphere set in advance before Shabbos comes in. And that sets the table, that sets the stage for what's about to come. But, he says, there's another aspect, there's another facet, there's a second side of Hadlakat Nerot. And he said that is the place where you should be eating and drinking, should be lit so that you can enjoy and properly have Oneg Shabbos. And that's why he says, there's no Oneg when you eat in the dark. He says the main aspect of the Hadlaka is the Kavod Shabbos that I'm preparing. But the Oneg kicks in retroactively when I sit down and I enjoy my meal. I enjoy the fish and I enjoy the challah and I enjoy the pesto and the dips and the gefilte fish and the chulent and the whatever else you're having, chicken soup, etc. And that kicks in after the fact. So Rav Chaim says, no, trade dinim at the same moment. There's Kavod Shabbos of now and Oneg Shabbos of later. Whereas in the Beis HaLevi, he says it's a little different. It's the same idea. There's two aspects. But it's two separate times. At one, the Kavod Shabbos is the Iker, when I light right now. But rather, in an hour or two, when I come home from shul, and I sit down at my table, then I can enjoy my food in such a more deep, beautiful, an amazing way, because I have light. Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, writes in his halachic masterpiece, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, an incredibly fascinating halacha. What's the halacha going to be if you forgot to light Hadlakas Neros Shabbos? Shabbos starts at 5:30. It's 5:35. Oh my gosh, I forgot to light Hadlakas Neros Shabbos. So what? Can you light Shabbos candles or not? What do you say? Shabbos started 5 minutes ago. Can I light Shabbos candles? Anyone say yes? Yes and no. So the 18 minutes is because in America there's a minhag to light 18 minutes before Shkia. In Eretz Yisrael, the general minhag Eretz Yisrael is it's not 18 minutes, but it's a half hour. And in Yerushalayim, in places that follow minhag Yerushalayim, it's 40 minutes. But yeah. So let's assume you're right. I should have been more specific in what I said. Let's say Shkia is at 5:30. 5:35. Am I allowed to light candles? Yes or no? Anyone say yes? Lighting candles is not only a malacha, it's an iser d'oraita. Not only that, when we say the lametet malachot, most of them are not even explicit psukim, they're drushos, and we're learning out. Lo tavir eish b'moshvotecha is one of the malachot that actually is explicitly a pasuk in the Torah. So how can I light candles after Shabbos starts? It sounds crazy.
Only that's more important
Then an Isra Malacha?
I don't know.
That sounds crazy.
The only way it would be.
Right. So the Alter Rebbe, Rav Shneur Zalman, has an incredible Chiddush. He writes, if you forgot to light Shabbos candles, and it's Bein HaShemashot, right? It's after Shkia, you cannot do Malacha. But we have this concept of Bein HaShemashot between Shkia and Seit, where it's this kind of twilight, we're hanging in the balance, is it day, is it night? I don't know. So we don't do any Malacha. We have a halachic principle. That Bein HaShemashot, Letzorech Mitzvah, is Mutar Al Yidei Goy. If there's something that's necessary for a mitzvah, then because Bein HaShemashot is a suffix, is it suffix yom, suffix laila, is it day, is it night, I don't know. So for the tzorech of a mitzvah, you can ask a non-Jew to do it. That's a klal we say across Halachos Shabbos and many other cases. So the Alter Rebbe takes this klal of tzorech mitzvah, Bein HaShemashot al yedei goy, and he says, you forgot to light Shabbos candles. What can you do? Go knock on your non-Jewish neighbor's door and say, hey, my good friend Christina, can you come over to my house and help me light? Can you light these two candles for me? I forgot. And Christina takes the match and she lights the Shabbos leichter. As crazy as that seems. Can you make a bracha on that? Yes or no? Christina lit your Shabbos candles after Shabbos started. Can you make a bracha on Christina's lighting? What do you say?
Yeah.
Why? What do you say? Anyone else? What do you say over there? No?
Honestly, you're already doing strange things for the sake of lighting candles.
I hear that. So exactly what was pointed out earlier. Fantastic. Way to hit the nail on the head. The Alter Rebbe explains, because he says the Ikur Mitzvah is Oneg Shabbos. You want to get Hana. You want to get enjoyment from the candles. So what do? Your non-Jewish neighbor lit your candles after Shabbos started. You can make a bracha b'shem u'malchus. Scream to high heavens, Baruch atah Hashem. Elokeinu melech olam, it's amazing. What do you mean? We generally say there's no shlichos for a non-Jew. I can't appoint a non-Jewish shliach for a mitzvah, and then I make a bracha on it? That's crazy. And the Alter Rebbe says, no, that she didn't do a mitzvah for you. Hadlakas Neros is like a hechi timsi. It's a way to get to the mitzvah. It's an agav. It's a practical manner of having the mitzvah happen. The main mitzvah, the Alter Rebbe says, is owning Shabbos, of enjoying Shabbos. And as a result, the non-Jew could light your candles during Bein HaShemashot, and you can make a bracha. I could even argue that maybe based on the Shulchan Aruch Harav, if I forgot to light Shabbos candles, when the timer kicks on with the light, maybe I should make a bracha. Because that's my Oneg Shabbos. Now there's light. Yeah.
So you said
fancy words. It's a way of it happening. It's something that, you know, it's in it itself is not the, it's a means to an end.
And how do you spell it?
Hey Yud Chaf Yud Taf Mem Tzadi Yud, I believe. I could be wrong on the spelling there. Okay? It's a means to an end. So Masma from the Shulchan Aruch Harav, I could even argue that maybe when the timer kicks on with my light, that I should be making a bracha. In general, almost all poskim reject this psak halacha. If your non-Jewish neighbor lights your candle during Bein HaShemashot, you probably shouldn't make a bracha, especially when we say safek brachot lahakel. And for your timer kicking on your lights, I definitely don't think we should make a bracha. But the fact that he's willing to actually go so far and to say this is drastic. He's saying the entire purpose is because of Oneg Shabbos, so that you can make a bracha on the existence of light. The Hartzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the former chief rabbi of Jerusalem, elaborates that the main purpose is not actually the lighting of the candle, it's the fact that we're bringing light into our homes. Similar to what Rav Melamed was saying earlier. The idea that Shabbos is coming, we're engaging our homes and adding more light, we're trying to raise our spiritual awareness, we're trying to tap into a deeper meaning that is Kavod Shabbos. Something that's more spiritual, something that's higher, something that's more elevated. We're trying to bring light into our homes. And as we spoke about last week, and Shabbos is the linchpin of our week. We're trying to bring light into our lives, into our week, into our homes, into our offices, into our schools. Shabbos is all about bringing the Kedusha, bringing the Ava, and stepping up the game. And we've seen over the course of Shir many different reasons why we should light candles. And now we're going to discuss briefly, and with this we'll end for tonight, the idea of there's a lot of nafkaminas that are going to come out of this halacha lemaisa. And we'll discuss that over the next two or so shirim, how the nafkamino come across. Ifu adif lahadlik. Where's the best place to light? What do you say, based on the different reasons? Where's the best place to light? If you're going to say it's Oneg Shabbos, where you're going to be eating. Who has another proof for something else? Yeah, maybe it's about Shalom Bayis. We want to be sitting around as a family on the couch having a nice time. Maybe if it's Shalom Bayis, you should have it in every room. Maybe there's an idea that every single room, I shouldn't be tripping over things. I need to have a candle in every single hallway, every single room. There's, you know, where I'm lighting, maybe is it Makom Shena versus Makom Achila? Maybe the ideal place to light is the place where I'm sleeping. Or is it going to be, maybe it's where I eat. Number two, bracha al hadlakat neirot, as we said earlier. If it's a din in Kavod Shabbos, I should always make a bracha, right? I'm lighting a candle to bring Shabbos in. But if it's about Oneg Shabbos, is there any reason for me to break a bracha when I light a candle in a place where the light's already lit? There's lights on in my living room when I light. There's a light on right now. If I lit a candle right now, should I make a bracha on that? Is that giving you any more Oneg Shabbos? If I'm doing it so that I don't have to turn on a light, if I have to chas v'shalom, take someone to the hospital, or someone's injured, I didn't do anything. The light was already here. If it's as Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank said, it's because I'm adding more light into my home. Did that candle actually make any noticeable difference? Another one. Is the mitzvah to light the candles, or is the mitzvah that the candles should be lit? Nafkamina. If I lit candles, right? I lit a candle Friday afternoon when I was cooking the food for Shabbos because it was a cloudy day out and I needed light to help prepare the food for Shabbos. Do I need to extinguish the fire in order to light it again? L'chvod Shabbos. L'man damar Oneg Shabbos. If I'm going to say it's because of Oneg Shabbos, there's already light. Why do you need another one? If you're going to say it's because of Kavod Shabbos, of course, you're lighting a candle specifically for Shabbos. If I lit on Shabbos itself, I was mechalel Shabbos to light candles. Not even like Yidei Goy, I myself lit. Maybe retroactively I could be Yotzei Hadlakas Neiro Shabbos because I was Yotzei Oneg Shabbos. But Kavod Shabbos, I missed out. It's all about Erev Shabbos. What about if I light a candle and it immediately blows out? I lit it, 2 seconds later it goes out. I lit it on Erev Shabbos, that's my Kavod Shabbos. It blew out immediately. I won't get Oneg Shabbos from that candle. What if you light a candle that has very little oil? Right, I can't afford a lot of oil, as was pointed out previously. So I light a very little oil that'll last me a half hour. It won't even get me through Bein HaShmashot. By the time it's dark outside, my candle will be gone. Do I need a light in every room? Or only in certain rooms? Maybe only in the kitchen or the living room or the dining room. Maybe only in the bedroom. There's a lot of other nafkaminas that we could discuss, but right now we're going to stop here and just point out that we started off tonight in our first year in Hadlakas Neros is trying to understand what the reasoning behind Hadlakas Neros are. The many different reasons brought down from the Gemaras to the Rishonim to the Achronim as to what the reasons for Hadlakas Neros are. What the spiritual and practical theological side effects of hadlaka are, and how that's going to apply to recognize that there are a lot of nafkaminas, there's a lot of differences that come out, halakha lemaisa, how we're going to act, how we're going to relate to hadlaka nerot, and we're going to see over the next few weeks all about hadlaka nerot, how that's going to actually relate to our lives, and the different nafkaminas, halakha lemaisa, that are going to come out as a result of some of the tamim behind it.